going to move on to the next topic, which is job postings. This is, we are talking about how to market yourself. So we're talking about any ways that you're going to find out about a job posting. And first of all, classified ads, I don't know how much they're really used anymore, but I imagine that for certain positions that they are, and really why not? I think it's especially for if they're looking for a local candidate, it's kind of low dollar, and plus there, but follow the instructions. I was really surprised when I went through outplacement and I heard these stories about it's fairly common for a classified ad to say, apply by mail only. Don't call and don't show up at the door, and the percentage of people that would call or show up at the door. And you're thinking, what, are you illiterate? Did you not understand the instructions say, don't call, and you're calling. So maybe you wouldn't follow instructions if we hired you either. So just follow the instructions in the ad if you are responding to a classified. The online job boards, the traditional ones, Monster, Career Builder, Marty knows a lot about Career Builder and how it's used from the employer's point of view. And these are the more traditional ones. There are now things that we call aggregators. And these are the biggest ones, Indeed, Simply Hired, and CareerJet. And what these companies do is they just go out, they have search engines that go out across the internet and find jobs, and then they link to them from their own site. And they probably fund themselves with advertisements or whatnot, so there's no fee to that for you. But you go into one of those and you put on, engineering project manager, Bainbridge, Ohio, search all jobs, and it'll go out there and search through 10 million jobs. And then what comes up on their list links you out to where the original posting was. So this is a very nice service to have. These are the three that I've found are most common right now. There are also field-specific online job posting boards. Dice, of course, is for IT. And there are probably ones for other fields as well. This is the one that's most known, but it is very IT-specific, information technology. There's collegegrad.com, I think it is, for entry-level jobs for new college grads. And on this site, there's actually a lot of nice advice as well as job postings. So as far as resumes and cover letters, and not that you're not going to get enough information from us, but and then there are also jobs posted on LinkedIn via the groups. And we will go over LinkedIn a lot later, but there are jobs posted in LinkedIn. Be careful on a lesser-known site. Sites should have solid controls for confidentiality and privacy. When you're putting your resume out there, you want to know that there are good controls on it. You should never have to pay to post your resume. A business that has that as its business model is probably not a good one. There are these big ones that you don't have to pay anything. So why would you want to pay to post your resume? You should never have to enter personal information up front in order to then access the jobs. I think an exception for that might be government. I think you might have to, for certain government jobs, you might have to enter in stuff into a database before you can look at jobs. But I think that's more for security clearance type of things. Another exception would be a professional society, say from American Society of Training and Development, which is my current organization. If they have jobs for their own members, of course I would have to log in and prove that I was a member before I could get to the jobs that they would have. And you should avoid resume posting services that charge you money. I had never even heard of that, but I just found that online a couple days ago as I was researching for this session. Yes, send us your resume and $100 and we'll post it on all these sites for you. Well, do you really want 100 sites to be contacting you about jobs? I mean, it's not even manageable for you. So pick a few of them, keep good track, and let's see. frequency, setting up notifications. I found nowadays that it varies per board. Let's see, what's my next point here? You can set up Google alerts in Google. This is like, say, search terms, company A or company B plus jobs, and then once a day, and you put in your email address, and it will send you an email with links to jobs that Google would find. The job boards themselves, Career Builder, and the aggregators tend to have alerts. Monster now, as far as I could tell, seems to want you to set up an RSS feed, and most people don't want to deal with that. But they also have where you can save a search. Say you search for chemical engineering in the Cleveland area today, you can save that search and run it again tomorrow or, you know, every day. So that's a little bit of a convenience. Responding to openings, you want to make sure that the postings are fresh. if you're responding to an ad and it's been up there for already like 6 months, 9 months, the employer might have just forgotten to take it down. So you don't necessarily know. Or there might be a reason why it's still up there. And it might not even be an actual real job. Because companies do put phishing ads out there. Sometimes they put phishing ads out there just to see if their own employees will, you know, respond to it. There's a little bit of a cloak and dagger type of stuff. excuse me. Maximizing your return. And I wasn't real sure, like, this is something that you put on the list, Marty, and I wasn't sure what you really had in mind here. To me, the way to maximize your return is to respond to ads where your resume closely fits what the job calls for, the same as the bullseye that Marty had drawn for us here. To me, that's the way to make sure you maximize your return. There are sometimes an advantage to applying directly on the employer's website rather than like going through Monster. You can say, okay, forward my resume, forward my Monster resume to Eaton. Or you could go to the Eaton website and apply directly there. If you did that, you would be able to tailor the resume for that job. But that is another step, and it also does not allow the employer to do the pre-screening that a company might expect to do from the job board. So there's pluses and minuses to going directly to the site. I have in my notes here to have Marty explain the employer's point of view. that's good.
Okay.
Well, let me just go through, because I only have like one more point here. Job board hygiene. If you find a position, go back and take your resumes down. Keep track of where you got your resume posted, and once you find a position, do go and take them down just for good hygiene, which of course I didn't do. And nothing bad happened. It's just you forget about it, and people are calling you, "Oh, I already have a job," and then maybe they're annoyed at you a little bit. So I'm going to pass the baton back over to Marty. Let you talk about job boards from the employer's point of view and the other ones.
Okay, how many of you use job posting boards? How many of you have looked at it? Okay, so if you're looking for a job, why aren't you looking there? Any particular reason? Those of you not raised your hands, why aren't you looking at job posting boards? I'm just curious. Somebody, jump in.
I'm a teacher, so I'm going to individual school districts.
Okay, everybody heard that, right? They're not all on job boards, right? And that's what I was hoping would come up. There are many organizations or types of that don't use posting boards because they have their own resources to do so. But you do want to look at posting boards because you never know what you might find. You may not find an educational opportunity that specifically relates to school district X, but there might be an educational or instructor opportunity within a corporation that wants a former educator. So you don't want to ignore the job posting boards, but you do want to keep it on your list. This list of marketing things that we're doing here, this is what we talked about when we started, right? It's just another way to put Campbell's soup in the marketplace. That's all it is. So Kim was right on target here relative to the e-sources. LinkedIn, without question, if you, it doesn't matter whether you're seeking a professional opportunity or, you know, entry level. If you can get something out on LinkedIn, you'll find a lot more networking opportunities that way. You'll be surprised how many people you know are already out there, because LinkedIn will tell you, you may know these people because you're second or third degree removed from that contact. So who's not put a LinkedIn page up? Maybe we should do it that way. A few of you. Okay. So I would absolutely encourage you to do that. LinkedIn is probably, she's right. I haven't seen those percentages, but I would guess it's among the top, if not the top, networking resource for professional level positions, and really not just professional, but just about every other one. And then there are posting boards that are for professions, okay? Depending upon the type of role you seek, there are very specific posting boards for your particular field. You can look at those as well. Now, the key thing with posting boards in general is what Kim mentioned about it being fresh. The position, when it's posted, if it's more than a month old, don't waste your time, okay? And if you're not exactly what they want, that's what I meant by maximizing return. If you're not exactly what it says, I mean, keep in mind, who's seeing that posting? The world. Think about it. When a posting goes on CareerBuilder, the entire world can see it, if they want to, right? As long as you have internet access, everybody can see it. So you're competing with hundreds and thousands of people. So if you're not exactly what's, or very close, 90% of what they want, why respond? It's like, well, people would say, well, you know, you throw enough spaghetti on the wall, something will stick. Maybe I'll get lucky. You're better off targeting what you want and going after it rather than hoping you'll be considered among those who qualify. If you've got 75 to 95% of what they want, respond. Okay? If you don't waste your time. If they say, you know, the posting says 10 years experience and you have 2, they're not going to hire you. Yes?
Is it true?
Yeah. It's exactly, well, most of those resources or software are within companies. And also, you can post your resume on CareerBuilder. And what will happen is you'll put in your own keywords or what you want. But they also have resources where, as an employer, I pay an annual fee. And I can go online and I can type in the keywords I want, geographics, compensation range, hit a button, and it'll spit out anybody that's fit in that profile. So you've got to have those things in your resume if it's going to show up on CareerBuilder. Okay? I want you to know that, you know, the best recruiting resources are often networking situations. People who know people who know people who send them to us. That's where I often get my best candidates. But I have to tell you, in 11 and a half years, I have exclusively used CareerBuilder as my online recruiting tool, and I've hired 95% of my people through that resource. So don't ignore job posting boards. There's a lot of good people out there that respond. So get your resume out there, set up your notifications, and you know, when the notification hits, don't wait a week and a half to respond. If it hits, do something about it that night, okay? Because typically, another thing about job posting boards, have you had to respond to a job posting and it asked you 4 or 5 questions you had to answer first? No? Okay, that's a screening tool. Basically, what happens is the employer establishes the 4 or 5 key things they need to know about somebody, and they ask a series of questions, and then they weight those questions by percentage. So when you respond in and put a little dot in the radio dial A, that might be worth 50%. But if you go to B, that's worth 10%. What happens is I get a score. So if the score comes back to me and says, hey, you had somebody respond to your posting, but their score is 12, I won't even look at it. Okay? So that's why you've got to be on target. You've got to be what the posting wants. You need to be very close. So that score, if it's about 60% or better, I'll probably take the time to at least scan the resume. Okay? Yes, sir?
Just a quick question to what Kim said.
It's very easy to change it.
Yeah. You can edit it on the fly, you know, and just reload it. I mean, it's real simple. It's a click to delete the whole thing and put another one up. It's really not all that difficult. The most difficult part of it is making sure you put the right information in the right spots. You know, set up your notifications, set up your privacy levels. That's the most important part. Get it all right, especially things like LinkedIn. Those of you who are working, okay, if you're setting up your LinkedIn page and you start to link to people, every time you change something, they know. A notification goes out. Hey, so-and-so just updated his employment status. So if you're LinkedIn and your boss sees you changing everything on your online, what's he going to think? She must be looking for something, right? So set up your privacy level so that doesn't happen, so that no messages go out if you are, in fact, looking for an opportunity. The next thing on the list here is employment services, so let me hit that real quick. As I mentioned when I first started, I was with a partner in an executive recruiting firm for about 10 years. And we basically, does everybody really understand what recruiters do in general? What is your impression of what they do? They find you a job, right? No. Exactly the opposite.
They encourage you to find a job.
Basically what they do.
The company finds them.
Nope. We're getting closer, though. Somebody want another shot? Recruiters do not find people jobs. They find jobs, the right people to fit a job. They don't find a job for you. They find a right person to fit a job. That's why it's called recruiting. They have to recruit somebody. Okay, they got to go find the needle in the haystack. Case in point, I was retained by Black & Decker Corporation. I went to, is it Towson, Maryland, where one of their plants was located, to meet the president of that division, because what they wanted to do was explain. They wanted to find a plant manager that could set up a plant a manufacturing line to make carbide-tip saw blades. That's what they wanted. It had to be that kind of person, okay? So I could have had 1,000 people responding to me in a job posting for a manufacturer, but if they've never touched carbide-tip saw blades, it wasn't going to happen. So I specifically got the order. That's what a recruiter does. They get the job order from the employer. They're given a very specific set of parameters, and their job is to go out and find the needle in the haystack. So they recruit comparable companies. So I did research, and I found out that a company that was prominent that made carbide-tip saw blades was Vermont American. So I got my resources out, and I recruited every person in plant management I could in Vermont American. Sooner or later, I found a person that said, yeah, I'm interested in that job. And within about, maybe 30 days, I placed him and moved him from where he was to Maryland, and he got a base salary of about $120,000, and we made about $35,000. That's what a recruiter does. They get 30% of the person's first year income. So they're not going to spend $35,000 on a recruiter if you are not exactly what they want, right? Right? Think about it. Why would you do that? Give me somebody that's marginally close, and we'll give you $35,000. No. They're paying a fee because they want exactly what they want. So recruiters are not, when you try to approach a recruiter thinking you're God's gift to the job hunting market, that's not going to happen, okay? What you need to do is identify recruiters that are in your industry, your field. They do specialize, okay? So find recruiters. Look at the NAPS directory, National Association of Personnel Services. Look in that directory. You'll find recruiters across the country that specialize in your particular field, if it's human resources or if it's medicine or manufacturing or accounting or whatever it is. Those are the ones you want to contact. And all you want to do is say, hey, here's my document. You may not be looking for somebody. Just keep me in mind. And that's all you want to do, and recruiters will love you. Okay? When a recruiter calls you, anybody ever been recruited in this room? They've called you. Okay, so what's the typical call? What happens?
They have a position. They want to interview and see if I can fill that position.
So they told you about the job, and you said, this isn't exactly what I want. What happened next? And then what do they do after they said they've realized you weren't going to be the guy?
I can't recall.
Yeah, who do you know?
No.
See, when a recruiter calls you, one of three things has to happen. You're the guy, you're not the guy, but you can get me to the guy, or get out of my life, leave me alone. Two out of three is not bad. So recruiters will do that. They're calling you because hopefully you're the guy, but if you're not the guy, you're going to know the guy. And we're right back to Girard 250. That's what I'm talking about, okay? So recruiters do that. They don't sit behind their desk waiting for you to walk in with your resume, or you send it in the mail and then you call a week later saying, have you found me a job yet? They don't find people jobs. They find people for positions they have to fill. Big difference. Big difference. Now, recruiters are very helpful and very useful in very specific situations where there's maybe a volume of people needed. You know, a company I recruited for a long time was Bob Evans Restaurants. They couldn't get enough trainees. Why? Yeah. You get them, they'd find out, this isn't really what I want to do, and they leave. But you couldn't get enough, okay? I could place five people a month at Bob Evans, make $20,000, but I'd lose half of them and have to replace them again, okay? So the point is, recruiters have very specific definitions of what they want. Your best bet is to go out and find the ones that best fit your situation and just get them your documents, okay? The other issue, though, is use recruiters sparingly. Why would I tell you to do that? Do you want to be presented by a recruiter to a company? Think about that. It's a double-edged sword, isn't it? If you were an employer, okay, and the best candidate walked in the door, bless you,
thank you,
a candidate walked in the door and directly to you that cost you nothing, and another candidate was presented to you by a recruiter that essentially has the same qualities, but that person cost $20,000, who do you think you're going to hire? Why would you spend $20,000 if you didn't have to? Okay, I can tell you that from my personal experience, if I've got two candidates and they're essentially equally qualified, I'm not going to spend $20,000 to hire that candidate that came through the recruiter. Why would I? If I can get this guy for free. Okay, I mean, and on top of that, think of this too. When you're hired by a company through a recruiter and you've got that fee attached, the company will really, really look at you for the first 90 days. So why is that? They can get a refund or get a replacement, typically. What happens is the company will then say, I'm not happy, I don't see what I don't like what I see, find me a replacement. Well, the company will, you know, the recruiting firm will get another person. And that guy's working hard trying to make it happen, he doesn't even know he's already out. He's already out, unless it's a real disruptive situation and they ask him to leave. So recruiters are not always the best sources for you. The best situation with recruiters, the higher you go, the more likely they're going to be effective for you, okay? And recruiting yesterday used to be what it should be. The recruiter finds the right person, they network, they contact, they find a perfect candidate, and so on. Nowadays, recruiters are buying access to CareerBuilder, and they're scanning all those resumes trying to find somebody that they're basically moving paper, okay? A lot of them do it now. So that's why put your best foot forward out there in CareerBuilder, okay, if you're going to do it, because if a recruiter calls you, okay, but no, that's going to happen. It's going to happen because they're out there trying to shuffle paper. And recruiting works on contingent or retained. What that means is the company will not pay the fee unless they find a person and place them. That's contingent. Retained means the company's already paid part of that fee up front. They're serious. We want this candidate, so go find them, okay? If you're on an assignment, you want to ask the recruiter, is this assignment that you have contingent or retained? If it's retained and they're talking to you and they're serious, that's a good thing, okay? Because the company's already said, I'm willing to pay the freight. Find me the right person to fit this shoe. If it's contingent, that means you're another person online, and there could be five other recruiting agencies trying to fill that role. So whoever gets there first wins, okay? All right, direct marketing, let's talk about that real quick. We're running out of time right now. We can blow over. You gonna be okay?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, direct marketing. This is very, very important. Okay, if you forget everything else we talk about today as it relates to marketing, don't forget this. Okay? Did I make that clear? Is it dramatic enough? Okay. We talked earlier about three steps in this process, right? Know what you, who you are, target effectively, make sure you put your money where your mouth is when you get in the interview, right? So we're still in that center piece. Well, if you know you want to be in HR, then you want to find organizations that have a pretty stable and growing HR function. Don't wait for them to post it online. Why? Now you're competing with everybody else that sees it. So target the companies you want to work for. Identify the industries that are closest to your target. Okay? Think about if you want to be in manufacturing and you want to work in heavy machinery within a geographic market area, you can identify through research and going to the library that Ken talked about who are the companies that make that kind of product in this area. And then when you identify who the company is, do your homework. Research, read about them, understand what's going on in that organization. Now when you do that, find out who the hiring authority would be in your department. Okay? Now in most organizations that are relatively good size, the hiring authority is the head of the particular function you're trying to approach. It's not the human resource department, unless of course the job is HR. Now, it's not always that case, okay? It depends on the size of the organization. In my particular company, I am the VP of HR, but I have a director of sales reporting to me, and a director of IT reporting to me, and a director of projects reporting to me. So if I see somebody come up that's an IT person, I have the authority to hire that person because they're in my functions, okay? So you just have to be careful you walk that line. But typically, the person that hires is the person that is ultimately the direct report, the director of IT or whatever. That's the hire. That's the person who's got to live with the candidate once they're hired. Why am I telling you that? Identify the company, do your homework, create a marketing letter, which we'll talk about in a little bit, okay, and target that particular individual with that letter. Directly market yourself to that organization. I have to tell you that in outplacement consulting that I did for 10 years, okay, hundreds of people came through the door. Some were retained by companies. Some a company paid me to help. Others paid me directly to assist them. Okay, our commitment was to continue to work with that person through the process so long as they were executing as they were supposed to until they found an opportunity. In all those years, I never sent a resume to anybody for resume writers, okay? I never sent a resume to anybody, okay? I never took one of my clients and said, we're going to mass mail this resume to 300 companies. Didn't happen. I created a marketing letter and got it in the hands of the hiring authority for the particular type of organization that the person was most inclined to get a job with, and then taught the candidate how to go about following up and getting into some kind of an interview. So a marketing letter is a pretty important tool. Essentially, it is a narrative resume. It's a narrative document, okay? It's a letter that shows you know something about your research on the company, that you have these general things to offer, and you'd like to speak with that individual. So, hey, I'm going to call you in a week. Please anticipate my phone call. It's very forward-thinking. You identify the target companies. You put like 50 of these things in the mail at once. Now, you heard what I said, right? I didn't say three or four, okay? You put a whole bunch of them out there because some of them aren't going to talk to you at all. Some of them don't even want to bother. They got too many things to do. So you've got to target what you think is the best possible fit. Get your document in the hands of the right hiring authority. Chances are good if you follow up like you say you will, they'll probably spend a few minutes talking to you, okay? Now, we'll talk more about that in one of the follow-up sessions. We don't have time to go into that now. But that's what direct marketing is all about. Identify the companies you want, do your homework, prepare a marketing letter, and get it in the hands of the right person. Follow up after the fact. Okay? That's direct marketing. Kim, you're up.
So accessing research sources, Cuyahoga County Public Library Career Center. They have these lovely resources online that you can go. There's a lot of advice for career seekers. And they have that as well. But also, they have just like all of those books with the lists of companies, access to specialized databases that normally you would have to pay $50, $100 a month to just access this information. They have this available for free. I don't know if it's every branch of the library. I know it's at the Maple Heights branch, but and evidently maybe it's at Shaker Heights as well. It might be available in some other ones. But if you go to their website, you'll be able to tell what's available at which branch of the library to help you know which companies that are in which industry in your area or in your target area if you want to like move to Florida or something. So that is an excellent resource. Another thing is newspapers, both the Plain Dealer and Crane's Cleveland Business. Lovely stuff. I mean, you can just, and this is actually a course available online as well. You have your professional journals, and I couldn't believe I got this. This is my one for my group that I had mentioned a few minutes ago, our monthly color glossy magazine that they send out. And it's just amazing. I just got this like 3 or 4 days ago. Every year they have conferences for this field. And they have this thing about the conference. And this is a list of all the vendors that are going to be exhibiting there. It's a list of hundreds of companies that would hire somebody like me. I couldn't believe it. I'm thinking, wow, this is great. And if you go to the libraries, they will have journals for many different professions that you can go back through, you know, and look online and see which library has which journals. You might have to go to the main one downtown Cleveland. But, I mean, so it's available to you for free. You don't have to join the thing to get the magazine. Just go to wherever you need to go to find that information in the periodicals, newspapers. The best thing to do, the easiest thing, is just to Google stuff because so much is available online. What the company wants you to know, what their competitors want you to know about the company. Just you can Google a type of industry and then the Cleveland or you know whatever area and just and the, like engineering companies Cleveland and bring up a list and see what comes up. But one thing I did definitely want to say is to budget your time. So you could do this for hours and hours. You could do for days. You could be sitting there with no food. Your blood sugar's getting low, and it's just not feeling good. So set a time frame, you know, 2 to 3 hours maximum. Probably 1 hour would be better. Just see what you can find. And then if you think you need more, go back and do it again. But don't be spending all day in front of your computer because it's just too confusing, it's overwhelming, and you end up accomplishing nothing. Think of it like a job, and this is just one of your projects. The other projects, of course, are your actual networking in all the different formats that we've talked about, working on your resume and your marketing plan, researching career fields if you're changing of fields, lining up your interview clothes, your health and wellness activities, you know, to eat well and to keep fit, maybe even a hobby. You know, those are other things so that you're not just zoned in on one or two tasks for all day long and frustrating yourself. The next topic, utilizing NAICS and SIC codes, I know almost nothing about, so I'm going to ask Marty to chime in on that.
Go look at these research sources online or at the library. Virtually all the directories will reference companies by classification, by the type of industry they're in. And that's all these codes are. It's the North American Industrial Classification System and the Standard Industrial Classification. Every industry has a number, okay? 8071 is medical, okay? So if you want to find companies that are just in the medical field, you can go into a directory, look up that number, and it'll list all the companies in that number. Make it a lot easier to find it. So you want to identify the industries that your product makes most sense to sell to, find the SIC codes, then you can research the industries and the companies within them. That's all the codes are. Real simple.
That probably has a lot to do with You want to do research before you contact an employer. You don't want to call on them and saying, what does your company do? Or give them the impression that you don't already know what their company does. It was amazing to me, my former employer, I worked for a very large company here in Northeast Ohio, and my manager would just be amazed that people would be calling her and looking for a job, and they did not have any idea what Parker Hannifin did. What kind of company is an accounting company? And, you know, no, kind of not. But that just shows a lack of, interest. If they're not interested, why should you consider them for a job? So the next thing I want to talk about is researching the company. And of course, you can go to the company's website. Most companies will have their annual report available as an online PDF on their website, or many of those are also available through the library. News and press releases. You can look up the company, see if there's been articles about them in the major trade journals, as well as most companies do have their own press releases on their websites, so that's what they want you to know about themselves. Of course, you can do the Google search. You can look in Hoover's and Dun & Bradstreet, and these are two of the large business databases that are available through the library for free. I don't know that very much of their information is available without that specialized login access. But these databases would tell you how many facilities they have, how many employees, what their net assets are, the kind of things about the financial condition of the company, so you would know, is it stable enough that you would want to pursue it. There are also a lot of the companies have social media sites, and one of the clients that I'm working with now, I'm actually working with their recruiting team, and it's very interesting looking at it from a different perspective. But they have, for their whole company Twitter account, but for their recruiting arm. They have a Twitter account, and they tweet about jobs. We have this entry-level accounting job available in our facility in Des Moines, Iowa. And so don't neglect to look at Twitter not only from your perspective, but from the potential employer's perspective. They might, I guess a lot of the larger companies are doing this now because they want to control. This is their way of telling you how to perceive them. They'll have a Facebook page. They'll have a LinkedIn page. They'll have a Twitter account so that they want to tell you what to think of them. But once again, budget your time. Set a time frame, 20 or 30 minutes for a company. You can always try again later if you don't find enough information. Next, we'll talk about researching the industry and the field. So you can use news articles, trade websites, e-zines. This is just a couple of them. CIO would be for IT. HR communication would be for human resources. And most fields have blogs and e-zines for their own people. And in these kind of sources, both in the news articles, trade websites, and e-zines, you're going to be looking for market and competitor information. What is the market like? Is there is it trending down? So is there's problems, or is there a bright side? This is growing in the business. And what are their major competitors and how things are going? What are the trends in your job field, in your target field? Is there a new version of Oracle that's taking over, from the old ERP systems they used to know? What are the challenges? Who are the thought leaders, both in the industry and in your target field? And you can actually, for me, I would Google e-learning thought leaders, and I might come up with some of the gurus who are the cutting edge in my field right now. Hot topics and buzzwords, these are the kinds of things that you'd be looking for in order to prepare yourself for an interview or for a major networking push. Last, we're going to talk about, and look, I'm going to end on time. I'm so excited. researching the interviewer. You can find information on, of course, Google and LinkedIn, many sources. You've got to think like a detective. Okay, now I actually get to ask you guys, who are some detectives you guys know of? Books, TV, movies, who? Sherlock Holmes, big one. Columbo, right. Anything else? Inspector Gadget, love it.
Inspector Gadget.
Monk, yeah, love it. Like psych. So my favorite ones, Bryant and May and Chet and Bernie, they're in books. But you think like a detective. Don't be creepy though. But I mean, but if you actually get an interview, Google that person. See what you can find out. And I'll do a lot of this also in the follow-up session. But I was researching a potential client. We were hoping to do business with these people. Let's see. I'll give you a couple of things. I looked up the one lady, and they're in the list. And of course, there's other people with her name. But in the list, there was a PDF from some library. And it was in another state, someplace in Michigan, and he or she had received some kind of community service award from her library. Oh, this is good for me to know. I mean, not that I'm going to mention that, but it helps me to know what kind of person she is and what kind of values she might have. Another one, I found out that the person had, set records in running marathons in her town. I found one that this one was interesting. It was probably 5-6 years ago. She had just graduated college and she had just entered her professional society, and their professional society in that field had listed all the names of the new members that had just joined and their email so that people wouldn't contact them if they wanted to hire somebody. And her email, it just looked, I mean, it had her name, I forget where, Kathy somebody, and then Kathy dot, and then it was a word, and then @gmail.com. And I thought to myself, that's not her name. It doesn't even look like a name. I wonder what that is. So I took that little word out of there, and I Googled that, and here it was like some character in this Japanese animation manga. Thinking to myself, oh my goodness, it's a fellow sci-fi fan. Well, I hope we get that project. And just little things like that you can find out if you actually know the name of the person that you're going to be interviewing with. But those are just little things. But most of what you're going to find is going to be on LinkedIn. And now, if you have any questions after this breathless presentation, we're getting ready for lunch. Anything? Please come to the follow-up sessions. There is so much more. And we'll actually do some of the things that we're just describing to you. Thank you very much for your attention.